From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. COVID cases are again surging in Illinois, up 18% compared to the previous week. This comes as schools across the state have returned to in-person classes from kindergarten through university. Governor J.B. Pritzker recently extended the deadline for hospital and school employees to get their first or only dose of a vaccine. That's until September 19th. Meanwhile, the governor's mask mandate for schools has met varying levels of compliance. One school district in Clinton County in southern Illinois defied the mask mandate and ended up with an outbreak of cases. Within the first weeks of school restarting, about a third of Carlisle's 1,000 students had to quarantine after either testing positive for COVID or being considered a close contact to someone who did. Schools are also dealing with labor issues. Across Illinois, from Rockford to Champaign to the Chicago suburbs, a shortage of bus drivers means students are waiting longer to get to school, or in some cases, parents and kids have been left on their own. Joining us now to discuss these stories and more are Madhu Krishnamurti, senior staff writer and education reporter for the Daily Herald newspaper. Madhu, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you for having us.
Tim Shelley is news director for WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, one of our partner stations. Tim, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
And Megan Valley is an education reporter for the Belleville News Democrat and Report for America Corps member. Megan, good morning and welcome to you.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, we want to invite you as ever to join our conversation. Our lines are open, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Especially now that school is underway, how's it going in your area? Have you seen compliance with the governor's mask mandate? Maybe you've been affected or seen other people being affected by a bus shortage in your community. Are kids waiting an extra long time, or maybe you've had to figure out other ways of getting them to school? We'd love to hear about it. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. Tim, I'm going to begin with you. You recently reported on how Peoria hospitals are straining with the surge in COVID cases. What can you tell us about that?
They are. So we've seen this in Southern Illinois for the last several weeks where hospitals are straining, and now we're seeing that trend move northward. So here in the central part of the state, OSF St. Francis is a big regional healthcare hub, basically, for a lot of other hospitals in the area. And the ICU capacity is almost full. Surge beds are almost full. And we're now at the point where OSF says they're getting requests from other hospitals to take in patients, and they're being forced to turn people away. Or patients are waiting several hours in an emergency room, waiting room for you know, bed space.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that not only affects people with COVID-19, but sort of rolls downhill if you have something else for which you need critical care, that bed may be taken up as well. What do we know? One of the key questions people always want to ask, the share of people who are in the hospital who are taking up these beds who are vaccinated versus unvaccinated?
Absolutely. So we know that all the people in the ICU currently at OSF are unvaccinated. There are, I believe, a few people in the hospital for COVID who are vaccinated, fully vaccinated. However, they're all over age 65 and likely have some of those what we call comorbidities, some other health factors which can contribute to COVID complications. So I would say overall, the vast majority of people are unvaccinated.
Megan, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you've reported on that district I mentioned earlier, Carlisle, that defied the state's mask mandate. Then there was a COVID outbreak. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, so essentially what happened is this was a district that they explicitly told parents that they weren't going to be requiring masks. In back-to-school letters, you know, they said that they might even be encouraged to wear masks, but it certainly wasn't going to be a requirement. Yeah, and then within the first couple of weeks of school, they actually had to close down because about 30% of their students had to quarantine either because they tested positive or they were considered to be a close contact. This week, it looks like the numbers are down a bit more. It's closer to about 16% of students that are still under some sort of quarantine order. But that's certainly still very high.
And just to be clear, so did the entire school shut down when that happens, or is it just that a third of the kids have to stay out?
Yeah, so the entire school district did shut down just because there were so many students who would have had to stay home anyways.
Interesting. What was driving the move to not have students be required to wear masks? I mean, did that come from the administration, from parents, from students?
It was probably a combination of parents and students, especially down here in like southwestern Illinois. There have been a lot of parent groups that have been organizing and speaking at school boards, asking that their children be given the option to wear a mask if they want to, or to not wear one if they don't want to. Most of the districts are, still complying with the statewide mask mandate, but this is one that didn't.
Interesting. And have they faced some of the pressure from the State Board of Education in terms of high school athletics and things like that, that we've seen, the state trying to encourage or sort of force schools to comply?
Yeah. So Carlisle was one of the districts that sort of in that first batch of probationary letters that were sent out to districts who weren't complying. And they did end up, the school board voted to, they were going to require masks just a few days before they ended up closing because of their outbreak. And they've had their recognition status restored by the state. So it looks like for now that they're in the clear, at least when it comes to any sort of like state recognition status or pressure.
Okay, interesting. Madhu, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you've been reporting on another angle of the schools and COVID story, which is a shortage of bus drivers in a lot of suburban school districts. What can you tell us about that?
Well, certainly the state's largest school district, Chicago Public Schools, is really in a critical situation with the shortage of bus drivers. They had about 10% of their drivers quit because they did not want to follow the mask mandate and didn't want to be vaccinated, actually. And Chicago Public Schools ended up actually trying to incentivize parents by giving them money to drive their own children to school, which is a crazy situation to be in if you're a parent. In the suburbs, it's not quite as dire, but there are multiple school districts reporting, they need 30 drivers, 10 drivers, 15 drivers. There are high numbers of drivers that are still, they still haven't hired, and they're in the process of either hiring or looking for them, but the pool is smaller. There's a bus driver shortage almost every year, even in a non-pandemic year, but the pandemic sort of exacerbated that because a lot of people who used to be bus drivers when schools closed, they opted to join other driving related companies and they got hired out of the school systems, if you will. And now the schools are struggling to get those drivers back.
Yeah, and this is not necessarily just something that anybody can do, right? You have to have special endorsements on your driver's license to be able to do this job.
You do. You need to be certified a certain way. And there are some districts that are leaning on their retirees now to come back and help fill the gaps wherever they need. So, this is going to be even more of a critical issue as time goes by, because there are other options for drivers, and driving school buses is not perhaps as enticing as it was before. And schools are having to, change the pay scale, perhaps offer other incentives to lure them in.
And that was my next question, actually, is this mostly a question of pay? I mean, we've seen a labor shortage in a lot of sectors at this point, owing to the pandemic. It's sort of shaken things up. Or as you mentioned, some drivers didn't want to comply with the mask mandate or maybe the new vaccine mandate. Do you have a sense of where is the, where schools might be able to recover from this?
I think the vaccine mandate certainly hasn't helped, but unfortunately for schools, because they deal with such a critical population that is unvaccinated, their options are limited in allowing employees who are unvaccinated to be around children. So that's, I think, something that's pushed this over a little bit, because that wasn't the case last year or the year before, when you have a normal bus driver shortage. But there are, as you said, there are many sectors of our workforce that are hurting, because there's just a labor shortage in so many areas. People are not wanting to go back into these situations.
All right, listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with three reporters on the latest on COVID-19 and schools in Illinois in particular. We're joined by Madhu Krishnamurti, who's senior staff writer and education reporter at the Daily Herald, Tim Shelley, news director for WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, and Megan Valley, education reporter for the Belleville News Democrat and a member of the Report for America Corps. Our lines are open. We'd love to hear from you now that school's underway. How's it going in your community? What have you seen in terms of mask compliance? And what about buses? Have you been affected by the statewide bus driver shortage in your area? 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Madhu, one more point on these buses. We've talked a lot about safety in schools on the program in the past and the mask mandate in Illinois that goes from pre-kindergarten all the way up through universities. What about on school buses, though? What are the protocols as far as safety for students on buses?
So when the state decided to allow in-person learning again this fall, they lifted that requirement that they had for capacity limits on buses. Before, during the pandemic, when schools had opened up a little bit, you could only have 50 students to a bus, and now that limit has been lifted. But the masking mandate still exists for bus drivers as well as the students. They need to be masked at all times. They don't have to socially distance on buses, which is also a concern, whether kids being kind of cooped up, if you will, in a vehicle that's not generally not well ventilated, is a recipe for more infections or outbreaks. Having said that, I have not heard of any particular instances of outbreaks on school buses, but that is a concern.
Megan, you've also reported on another school in St. Clair County, New Athens High School, that's already closed in-person school after a COVID outbreak. What can you tell us about what happened there?
Yeah, so New Athens was a school district that was complying with the mask mandate, and they only had to close their high school. So their entire district didn't have to shut down. They had a particular building that was the source of the outbreak. And so that was the only one that got shut down there.
Are there any more details? Like, was it a sports team or the cafeteria, or do we know what exactly caused that?
We don't really have specific details as far as what caused it. And I mean, there's also sort of this question of whether it's an outbreak actually in the school where the cases are being transmitted in the building, or whether if it's just a high number of students who have tested positive for COVID and they're not necessarily sure where they transmitted it. So that it hasn't really been determined exactly where that one occurred yet.
Yeah, interesting. And do places like New Athens that had to close a building, or Carlisle that had to close the district, do they have plans to resume in-person classes? Is there a timeline for getting back to in-person?
Yeah, so Carlisle, they were scheduled to return to the classroom today. New Athens, I don't know exactly which day, but most of them, they're working off of that. You know, like when you quarantine, you know, it's 10 days.
Oh, the standard.
And that's the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So standard quarantine timelines.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here on the program. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, our Monday Reporters Roundtable, with three reporters talking about the rise in COVID cases, as well as how that's playing out in schools across the state. We're speaking with Megan Valley with the Belleville News Democrat, Madhu Krishnamurti with the Daily Herald, and Tim Shelley with WCBU in Peoria. We'd love to hear from you how it's going in your area. 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. I think I've been saying Monday Reporters Roundtable. You know, it's one of those Labor Day things. It's the habit. Obviously, it's Tuesday, so don't drive off the road if you're surprised by what I'm saying. But do give us a call. Let us know how school is going in your area. 800-222-9455 is the number. Later in the program, we're going to be talking about sidewalks and bike lanes. There's a new state law that is going to put more of the financial burden on that on state government as opposed to local government. That's aimed at improving things, especially for people with disabilities. One additional housekeeping note, later this week, we're going to be marking the 20 years since 9/11, and we'd love to hear where were you when. Go to our website, 21stshow.org, share your story with us, what you remember about hearing the news on that day in September 2001. That's 21stshow.org. All right, more to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're starting off with our beginning of the week reporters roundtable, a Tuesday reporters roundtable in this case. We're talking about the rise in COVID cases in Illinois and particularly how that's playing out in schools around the state. We're speaking with Madhu Krishnamurti, who's with the Daily Herald, Megan Valley, reporter with the Belleville News Democrat, and Tim Shelley, who's with WCBU, the NPR station in Peoria. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. 800-222-9455 is the number. And Tim, let me come back to you. There's been a lot of, we've seen a lot of viral videos of school board meetings, parents and board members, you know, having contentious discussions about mask mandates and potential vaccine mandates. Tim, you reported on the Morton school board meeting a couple of weeks ago. What was that like?
Yeah, the Morton school board meeting was definitely contentious around the masking issue. So the district had previously decided to go mask optional before the governor's executive order was issued. Then they actually had a meeting in the auditorium to discuss, basically provide an open forum for parents to come in and talk about where they were on the mask mandate. And there was, as you might imagine, a lot of opinions on that. Some parents were very pro-mask. I would say probably more of them were anti-mask or pro, you know, optional, whatever you might want to phrase that as. But there's definitely a lot of passion around that issue. There's also a lot of, frankly, disinformation around that issue in terms of, you know, one of the frequently touted ones is mask, you know, might cause a lack of airflow, might cause complications with that, with breathing, which is not entirely the case sometimes, but it's definitely one that gets parents fired up. And the Morton School District has decided to comply with the governor's mask mandate. So that they are not one of the districts we're talking about here that is going against that.
Interesting, interesting. All right, let's go to the phones now, 800-222-9455. Laura is on the line from Rockton. Laura, thank you for calling in.
Sure. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
All right, what's your question?
Here's my question. It seems to me that the problem could be solved more or less if the children are vaccinated. So what does anybody know what the status is of the vaccinated children?
Okay, your phone was breaking up a little there. Laura, thank you so much for the call, though. I think I got it. The question was, do we know about the status of the vaccine for children? Madhu, I wonder if you have any insight on that. I've seen reporting, you know, maybe Pfizer could, you know, have the data of how its vaccine performs, you know, at those youngest groups, 5 to 11, by the end of September. But has there been discussion of maybe for the older children for whom it's approved already, or at least has emergency use authorization of mandating vaccines?
So the data is still being collated for the children under 12. And it was told back in the summer that by fall, we should have the vaccine for even children under 12, but that has not transpired as yet. I know that there's a lot of pressure on the Food and Drug Administration to authorize the vaccine, but it's still in the process. I have not heard of late any efforts to speed that up anymore.
Interesting. And Megan, I wonder if that's come up in conversations, school board meetings in your area about a vaccine mandate, right? Masks have been contentious enough on their own, but has there been conversation about whether to require the vaccine once it becomes available and fully approved?
Yeah. So the way that it's set up in Illinois, an individual district or school district or superintendent can't it's not really their decision about whether they're going to require a vaccine for their school district. It's made at the state level. They're the ones who set the vaccine schedules for, you know, all schools in the state. And so I haven't heard much at the state level. In the schools that I've covered, we've seen outbreaks in middle and high schools where you have students who are old enough to get vaccinated. And we don't have super clear data right now as far as, you know, how many students in each school district are vaccinated or unvaccinated. But even in those age groups where, you know, they at least have that option, we're still seeing some outbreaks.
Interesting. Okay, last question on this topic. And Tim, you have been reporting on Bradley University. I know different universities in Illinois have different, taken different approaches with this. The University of Illinois required vaccines, and they announced that pretty early on. Where is Bradley in terms of a vaccine requirement for staff and students?
Right. So Bradley actually was already largely complying with the terms of the governor's EO before it was issued, which was basically provide proof of vaccination or go through weekly testing. So when the mandate came down, not a whole lot actually changed there. But recently, Bradley's announced they're going a step further. Actually, they're going to require students to provide proof of vaccination by November, or they will be or an exemption, or they will be ineligible to enroll for the spring semester. And with faculty and staff, it's provide your proof or face a referral to either the provost or human resources. So they've really gone kind of above and beyond what the governor's EO is currently requiring here in terms of vaccination.
All right. Well, I suspect this is not the last conversation we'll be having on these topics. I want to thank Tim Shelley from WCBU, Madhu Krishnamurti with the Daily Herald, and Megan Valley from the Belleville News Democrat. Tim, Madhu, Megan, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your reporting here on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.